straying from the birth narrative a little bit, but a text that summarizes so well what we are seeking to accomplish tonight is to point to the fact that God works in unusual, surprising places through unusual and surprising people. Here's how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 1:25 through 31. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul says, foolishness of God is wiser than people's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than our strength. Nowhere is that more apparent than what we have been reminded of this evening. Places of the Nativity. God came to this world in the most unusual way. He came as a baby. His arrival wasn't announced by royalty. It wasn't even expected. He came to ordinary people, and the story of his birth takes place in unexpected places. Hard to believe. A few years ago, there was a group called Down Here, and I just love these words. I'm reminded of them and have to listen to it at least five or six times every Christmas season. Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero wrapped in a mother's shawl. Just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings stepped down from their homes? How many greats have abandoned their home? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that is all torn apart? How many fathers gave up their son for me? Only one, says the song. The foolishness of God is indeed wiser than the wisdom of men. Paul reminds us that the weakness, that the values, principles, and ideas that this world holds are not the same as what God holds high. The world looks at places and people of power and prestige, but God uses and displays his power by using insignificant people and places of this world to accomplish his plans. Unlikely places like Bethlehem, small and insignificant town in the shadows of the much larger and more important city of Jerusalem. Yet, the town that was named for bread, the house of bread, is where God chose the bread of life to be born. Unlikely people, an old couple conceiving a son who would be the forerunner of the Messiah, a virgin from Nazareth, giving birth to the Savior of the world. The first announcement of his birth, given to none other than lowly shepherds in the Judean hillside. The first acknowledgement of his birth, if you follow Matthew's narratives, surprisingly, came from a group of wise men way in a distant country, not even related to Israel, who saw a star and followed it to the house where the child king was living, and they worshiped him. If you follow Matthew to the end of the gospel, When Jesus was crucified on the cross, it wasn't the Jews who should have been the ones who acknowledged him first. It was a centurion that proclaimed, "Surely, this is the Son of God." Mind-boggling. God uses unlikely people. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in Matthew 5. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness. Indeed, Jesus came in weakness, the lowliest of all. He lived a perfect life, died a criminal's death, buried in a borrowed tomb, and defeated the powers of death and hell. These are the tools God uses to bring salvation. I think I find a lot of hope in that he uses broken people, people who are hindered by our own shortcomings, and yet God continues and is able to use us to accomplish his plan. So we're reminded to go to the place where God has sent us. Where has he sent you? Where has he sent me? He has sent us right where we are. And he expects us, and we are challenged, to do faithfully what he has called us to do. Maybe insignificant things, what we're doing every day, going to school, going to work, waking up, greeting those around us. It has a holy job assigned to it, that we are to represent him well, but right where we are, we need to tell the good news where we can. How Jesus came into the world. How his life, his death, his resurrection has meaning for us. And live our lives in small, insignificant place, or insignificant ways. There's no ideal people to carry out the message. There's no ideal place to serve. God uses our insignificance to contribute in very significant ways. As it says, I'll read this again, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify that things are. Why? So that no one can boast. There is no boasting. To Christ belongs all the glory. So what we do again, and remind ourselves regularly, bow before the wonder and mystery of a God, the eternal God, taking on human life. And bow today before the wonder and mystery of the God who redeems us, not because we have so much to offer and contribute, but because he's a God who loves and uses us. Wise people still worship him today. May that be said of us. Amen. Let us pray. Once in Bethlehem, you, Lord, came down to earth from heaven. Humbly born, a baby in a manger, yet Lord of all. Your shelter at that time was a stable with animals around, and your cradle a manger. No, yet when you return, we will not see you in a lowly stable, but at your Father's right hand in heaven, with your children gathered around you. Humble children, children who surprisingly made it to your side. Till that day, Lord, keep us humble by your own eternal Spirit. Rule in all our hearts alone. By your all-sufficient merit, raise us to your glorious throne. Amen.